So open our Bibles to Luke chapter 3, verse 16. Shared a little bit from this verse last week. And we're going to be looking at the concept here of our soul being transformed by the power of God. Luke 3:16, it's the other 3:16. You know, the other white meat. The other 3:16, John 3:16, here's Luke 3:16. John answered John the Baptist saying, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I comes, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Last week I was sharing with you our God is a consuming fire. From Hebrews 12, I think it's verse 29, which is a quote from Deuteronomy 4:23. Our God's a consuming fire. And he says here, we'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. And the Holy Ghost, of course, is part of the Trinity, the person of God who would dwell within us. He's the one who opens our eyes to know God. He's the one who brings the impartation of the life of God, the kingdom of God. He's the one who makes it possible to partake of life and godliness in Christ. He says we'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. And fire here is not speaking of emotion, and I mentioned this last week and some previous times already where there's been some Pentecostal tradition that would handle the scripture and say that when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're overcome with emotion. It has nothing to do with your emotion. The fire of God's dealing with the desire of your soul, your will. And fire consumes, and there is the consuming of the flesh, the consuming of your will as you present your will to Him. And that's what worship's really about. We don't gather just to sing songs. If you think that, you're lacking understanding. But praise God, the Word will give us understanding. I'm going to preach it. Okay, I'll state it here again. Sometimes we need to hear things like 500 times and the light bulb comes on. Don't feel bad about that. That's just that way for all of us. Some things come a little quicker or a little sooner. It's not, the issue's not how soon you see something, but that's eventually you see it. And the thing with worship, we are presenting ourselves a living sacrifice to God. We're offering ourselves to Him, as it says in Romans 12:1, which I was referencing that last week. Present yourself a living sacrifice, an offering acceptable to the Lord. Because in the verse previous, he says there, all things that we would have of God come from Him and are for Him and for His glory. All the life we would have in the Spirit, all of it is from Him. It's not something you produce yourself. It's not something you can fabricate. It's not about good deeds and good works. Those things should follow our faith. We don't do things to try to make anything happen. The Lord did all that was necessary to give us eternal life and inheritance in Christ. He provided it all for us. But we need to have a transformation of our soul where we are partaking of His life continually. Now, in an information age, you can study the nutritional value of every kind of food there is. But that doesn't enable you to partake it. You just know about it. You can know what's how much protein's in 4 ounces of steak. I shouldn't do this before lunchtime, but... But that's not the same thing as eating the steak. Seeing a picture of food, it's not the same thing as eating it. Your body needs to consume food, regardless of what your diet is, whether you're a vegetarian or you're a meat eater or whatever you are. You have to ingest it and eat it and digest it to get the benefit. And it's not just about knowing about God. but rather to partake the life of God. And our whole being needs to, and your soul is comprised of different parts. You have your will, your mind, you have, you know, your reasoning, your thoughts, your emotion. You have all of that needs to be consumed by the Lord. So the prophetic picture he gives us, and we look back in Leviticus, how around 40 times it's stated there was offerings to be made, an offering by fire, or the offering would be burned up or consumed by the Lord. It was offered to the Lord and consumed. The New Testament reality of that prophetic picture is that we offer ourselves to the Lord. Now, Jesus, as high priest and the Lamb of God, offered himself once for sin. We're making no offerings for sin. It's because we're free from sin because of his offering. We now present ourselves as an offering to the Lord, our life. And as we offer ourselves, we are immersed with the fire of God, or the fire of God consumes what's offered to him. So the desire, if you completely surrender and offer yourself to the Lord, your desires become consumed with his desires. If you're just trying to live doing what you want to do and somehow try to get God to bless everything, you're not really living according to the word, and you'll be very frustrated as a Christian because it doesn't work like that. He wants all of you, a covenant relationship, all of you for all of him. Sometimes people think, well, I can give 30% of my life to God and negotiate these terms that I can get enough blessing that I'll be happy with. Like a 30-30 proposition. Well, I'll give 30% and God will give me 30% of his blessing. I'll be satisfied with 30% of heaven. It's not how it works. It's 100-100. We give all of our life and he gives all of his life. And you see, the act of worship is the continual offering of ourself. Now, in an ideal sense, we do that on a daily basis. But he had ordained, as far as Sabbath, a day and a week where we would gather together and do that. Because there is a greater anointing in the corporate work of the Holy Spirit together, in every facet of it, in the corporate worship, than just by yourself. There is a multiplication of the power of the Holy Spirit. So in being baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, it's not that you become out of control or your emotions are bouncing off the walls. Remember that old ball? I remember when I was a kid, it was called a Super Bowl. How many of you had those old Super Balls? And they were kind of dangerous because they were very hard. Hard as a hockey puck, and they wouldn't bounce like just the same. They were unevenly weighted, and it would go zing, 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 bouncing off. Some people think that's how Christian life should be, like you're throwing a Super Bowl and bouncing all over the place. Nobody knows where it's going to go. No, it's not how it's intended to be. He doesn't want us just bouncing all over the place. But as we surrender all to him, we partake all of him. So that's the Holy Ghost and fire. Now my message title is Fire, Water, and Blood. Might say, that sounds like that'll preach, Pastor Bill. Yeah, it's going to preach. Fire, water, and blood. Our innermost beings transform, one, by the fire of God, where our desires are consumed with him. If your desires aren't consumed with his desires, or your will with his will, then you'll begin to have desires dominate you that are of this world. Desires for pleasure and money, which gives you the power to pursue pleasure, and of pride or status among people, being praised of man, being a somebody in this world. Those desires will overcome you if we do not exchange or fill our desires with God's desires. It's all around us. It's like the bacterial viral world, because of Adam's fall, that's all around us. It's complete ignorance and foolishness to think you're going to eradicate the planet from viruses. The reality is you try to stamp one out, it mutates into something else. But God, in that part of man being on the planet, gave you an immune system, which is an amazing thing to study. It's really amazing, and it's a microcosm of just how God sets things up, where your immune system will say, ding, 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 there's an enemy invader coming into the body. Get out those T cells, the army of T cells and the army of everything immune related, to go out and fight the fight and kill the enemy. So as long as you're strong taking in what you need, your body fights it off. You just have to be strong. Well, in the spirit, the same way, there's devils all over the place. Doesn't matter if there's one outside the window or whatever. Some people carry them around in their head. It doesn't matter how many of them are out there. I have an authority over them not getting to my head, not my spirit, not my body. I have authority there. It's up to me to take authority over every work of the enemy. Give him no place. He wants you in sin because that gives him a place. Okay. Well, our desires set on fire with the Lord. There's a transformation happening there. And if we don't receive that from the Lord, the point that I'm making is the evil, it's all around us, whether it's the bacterial viral world invading your body or whether it's the spirit world where it's demonic, that'll come in upon you. It's all around us. We don't have to be afraid. You just have to be strong. You don't have to be afraid of viruses. You just have to have a strong health, strong immune system. It's not to say they're not real. There are devils. Just don't give them any place. There are viruses. Just don't let them dominate your body. Stay strong. That takes some effort. Takes some understanding. You know, you could be ignorant and eat potato chips for going on a potato chip diet. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you won't be strong in your immune system. I mean, that you can put in a writing. Not that anyone would do that. Sometimes they're illustrated. You have to say something a little ridiculous. It helps us catch the point. Okay. Well, Holy Ghost and fire. My desires need consumed with the Lord. So again, in the true act of worship, we're saying, Lord, I present myself to you. You're worthy. You gave your life to me. You are God, creator. You are God, my redeemer, my savior. I adore you. I give you the honor, the praise. I give you the very most that I can give, my life itself. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to build on this. Fire, water, and blood. Ephesians 5. Now, people think of Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 22, is about marriage. But actually, Paul went on to say, I'm actually talking about the church. And marriage is a picture of the church. So what he goes on to say is understanding or wisdom for us with a marriage. But he's really using this picture about the church. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus gave his life for the church, the bride, or for having a people, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The Lord wanted to receive a bride, his people. His people are the bride of Christ, a people of God. And he wants us to be pure and set apart for him. You know, when there's a lot of things that have become little more than tradition in marriage ceremonies. In my mind, they mean a lot. It's not just a tradition. like the father giving the bride away, the reality is the father was the authority, or should have been the authority in that young lady's life. And he's saying, I'm releasing my daughter to you, young man. You're the new authority in her life. Because I don't know how well that fly today with modern atheistic thinking that denies everything that God set into motion. But that's the reality of it. That the father's saying, okay, as the authority over her life, I release her to you. She's your responsibility now, buddy. You take care of her. You take care of my girl. No, I didn't have daughters to release them over in that way. So I don't know all the emotion of that in a direct sense. But indirectly, I can see it. And I can understand it by revelation. There is a release of that authority. And that young lady's being set apart unto changing her name. Take on the very name of her new husband, the new family flow there, being set apart that together, they, as it goes on there, they would be one in the flesh, or they would be joined together in their life in the natural. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it be holy and without blemish. Without blemish and holy. Now, we are set apart from this world, coming into marriage with Christ. The young lady set apart from her father's family, coming into a new family being formed with her husband. We are set apart from the world. We were, in a sense, married to the world. Before we're saved, before we become Christian, we're married to this world. But we're being taken out from that, made new, given a new heart. We're set apart from the world for the Lord. The young lady is set apart from her father's household to her husband. We're set apart from the world to the Lord. Married to him, under his authority. Now, if you're under bad authority, that's a bad thing. But God is love. He is good. He's provided everything for us. He has all manner of spiritual blessing for us, as well as providing in the natural. So it's easy to submit to him. It's the easiest thing to submit to is Jesus. Because he's good. Some people struggle with that because maybe they had an earthly father who beat them or was abusive verbally or in some other way. And they struggle with really trusting and submitting themselves. We've come out from the world and we are washed by the water of the world or cleansed by the sin of worldliness. Sin, we are cleansed of sin. There's a remission. There's a cleansing in our mind by the water of the word. Now, as I'm adding things here, I'm going to keep reviewing. We're baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Our will, our desires purified. It's in the presenting of ourself. Lord, I surrender all to you. I worship you. I give myself to you in the act of worship. Receive the offering of myself, my will. Lord, whatever your will is, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to serve you, to do your will on this earth. So there's a purity in the heart, in the motive. Fire purifies. You know, when I worked in a foundry, that was very educational in that sense. Most of it was an unpleasant place to work. It's hot, dirty. Grinding, literally grinding metals and stuff and all that. But there'd be these ovens, and I would repair them at times when I was in the building maintenance. It's brick ovens, and they would have these different metals brought in, and they would have these ovens at different temperatures, maybe one's at 1,800 degrees, and then over another was like 2,000 and 2,200. And certain metals would melt down and come to the top to be scraped off at certain temperatures. And they would work towards the metal they were wanting to do. Well, it's like that. That's the best scientific I can do in that realm. Okay, I'm sure there's a lot more understanding to it than I have. But I do understand this in the refiner's fire. Different metals will separate at different temperatures. See, you'd have these ovens burning like 2,000 degrees. To use the expression, it's hot as hell. I mean, I don't know how hot hell gets, but that's hot, man. And you would have people in their job was to scrape off the impurities that were going to rise up to the top at a certain temperature. And then they would be making certain iron fittings and metal fittings with a certain purity of metal. So as the fire of God intensifies, burns out the impure desires in us. That's just a prophetic picture for us, or a picture of how it works. Then there is also the element of the trials of fire, where your faith is tested, which is as a fiery trial, or the heat gets cranked up sometimes. And you might think, well, I can't take it anymore. And because we call out to the Lord, he burns out even a little more of you, the carnal man. You know, we have songs, I got one, by the fever, more Jesus, more. That's one of those, I almost have to sing it to remember it. But more Jesus, more of him. Well, as we truly are having more of him, the fire of the Holy Ghost is going to burn out the impurities. And then God can do more with us. So the fire and the water, the washing of the water of the word, our minds also need to be cleansed. Now we have the picture when sin was abounding through the whole earth, the great flood, God was flooding it out with water. Now, it killed all the people who thought nothing but sin continually. It says in Genesis chapter 6, says that they thought nothing but evil continually. Now, things are bad on the earth right now, but they're not that bad. It says everyone except Noah's household thought evil nonstop, 24/7, evil, 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 evil. So it was bad. So God floods the earth and started over with Noah and his family. Now, that is, again, a prophetic picture to us. The Word of God is called the water of the Word. And when it comes to our mind and our thoughts, people have influences in their life. That's why we have to be careful what we look at digitally, what we watch on TV, who you listen to, what you see, because it all is forming things, thoughts and images in the mind. And because evil's in the world all around us, there's going to be carnal evil things form in the mind, where not only does our will need purified, but our thoughts need purified. And sometimes people are tormented with these thoughts. It could be thoughts of fear, tormenting. 1 John 4:18 says, fear has torment, can be thoughts, whatever the thoughts might be, of lust or pride or whatever, where there's tormenting thoughts, hatred, violence, and so forth. And the thing that we need to continue to experience is the cleansing of the mind. Now, we have a picture for us concerning our bodies. You need to wash yourself, and I trust you all did that either this morning or last night before you came. If we fail to wash ourselves, that bacteria will begin to make you stink. And our sense of smell would say, ew. So it's not the knowledge of taking a shower with soap and water, but it's the actual practice of doing it. There's no virtue in having a picture of a bar of soap in the bathroom, a picture of a washcloth, a picture of shampoo. There's no power or virtue in that. Or to have it written out, lye soap is comprised of ABC, XYZ. There is no power or virtue. We literally need to clean ourselves. And if you don't clean yourself, you never brush your teeth, they're probably going to rot, you know, and you're going to have bad breath and pain in your head and all the rest because you didn't clean it. It's not just having a picture. Well, did you brush your teeth? Well, I have a toothbrush. Did you brush your teeth? There's toothpaste in the tube. There's no virtue in that. You have to actually do that every day. 2, 3, whatever, how many times a day you do, and maybe use some mouthwash. That can be a help as well. But see, there is that act of cleansing because of the what's exist in this world. We have to continue the process of cleansing our body, but also the process of cleansing our soul, because you begin to pick up the stuff that you're around. Now, we cannot just live in a cave or position ourselves that we don't hear or see anything bad. That's not reality. I mean, to pursue that thought, you might as well just die, or you're going to somehow live by yourself in a cave and go crazy. Now you have these other thoughts. Go crazy, I'm all by myself. You're talking to the bats hanging in the cave. No, there's the process of the continual cleansing by the water of the word. My old friend Ron Perry had a song, "Take a Word Bath." Nah, 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 nah. Each and every day, take a word bath. Yeah, we need to bathe our mind or have the renewing of our mind. That, and as evil continues to increase around us, and the Bible says it will, the evil's going to get worse. You know, we can complain about that and moan about it and be angry about it and all the rest. It's going to be worse. What are we to do? We need to continue to present ourselves the living sacrifice offering, that the fire of God consume our will. We need to continue to renew our mind with the word of God. Now, I'm becoming more conscious or growing in my understanding of the effects of the digital age, where there's information blitzes and you at your fingertips. I love my iPad because I can look up every word in the Bible. There's times I might want to know the nutritional content of Brussels sprouts because that helps me submit myself to eat it. You know, some things it's easy to submit yourself to eat because your taste buds said, yeah, go for that. But some things I have to renew my mind. It's like, oh, yeah, that's why I'm eating this. And you need to be willing to do some things you don't necessarily like in life. If you think everything has to be what you like, make me happy, you're not going to be able to exist on the earth successfully. Because there's a lot of things you have to be willing to do that maybe aren't your pleasure. But you need to do it. Okay. Well, in this information age, knowing about God's not the same as partaking of him. Again, it's like having a picture of a bar of soap. That's not the same thing. And because of the information age, we're being led to think this way and we don't even realize it. Much more so, the younger generation is being indoctrinated in this and has no awareness whatsoever of how their mind's being programmed. That information's enough. I don't need a teacher. I don't need to submit myself. I don't need a pastor. I don't need to hear a prophetic word. I just need information. Well, I've knowledge, yes. The scripture says this or that scripture. Yeah, I know that. When we understand the renewing of the mind, we yearn to continue to submit ourselves under the anointed preaching of the Word of God, because we know I need that cleansing on the inside of me. It's not just enough to know about Him, but I have to eat that Word. I need that Word washing and cleansing my soul, where I'm taking every thought captive, giving no place to the evil one. And if we don't have the Word strong in our mind, how... You don't have the weapons to take thoughts captive, to say, that's not right. That's an incorrect thought. I can't let myself think hate. I can't let myself think envy. I can't let myself think fear. I need to take that thought captive. I will not fear, but I've been given power, love, and a sound mind. There is a cleansing and a washing of the water of the Word. And then the blood. Hebrews 9:14. Speaking of the high priestly ministry of Jesus being greater than that, the old priestly ministry that offered the blood of animals for forgiveness. But we have the remission of sin. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Another part of your soul is your conscience. That's where you feel what's right and wrong. And that's where the condemnation and failure and guilt, and that's really the operative word here, is guilt. Guilt would be experienced in the conscience, or the satisfaction of knowing you're in right standing. You've done the right thing. That's in your conscience. When the word reprobate's being used, it means someone has a hardened conscience. They don't feel right or wrong, good or evil anymore. There's no conviction anymore. Your conviction is in the conscience. And when we realize we are in sin, there is a guilt, condemnation, failure consciousness that's in people, and they'll do things in their own works to justify and say, well, I'm good. I'm not evil. I'm good because I held the door for a lady carrying a baby and I kissed the baby and pet the puppy dog. I'm good. No, there's no good outside of Jesus Christ. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the only way to be free from that guilt and condemnation, there's only one way. It's the blood of Jesus. It's not by the works of any man. You could never do enough. But by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we need to continue to partake of that immediately, actually, as we're aware of any sin in our life, that we acknowledge the Lord's redemptive work and receive forgiveness and remission of sin cleansed in our soul. So our soul is transformed by the power of God, the fire of God as we are offering ourselves in worship, the washing of the water as in the hearing of the Word of God, and the cleansing of our conscience from all guilt and condemnation, because we acknowledge the blood of Jesus was shed. By faith, I'm forgiven. You might not feel like it. Sometimes people do certain sins and they feel like, well, they did something to make up for it. You know, the business world takes advantage of people in airports, because you have business people, they'll go to another country and they'll commit adultery and fornication and have prostitutes, and they come back and their conscience is bothering them, and they buy their wife some jewelry, paying twice the price in the airport as they would at the local jewelry store. That's a conclusion I came to. Why do they sell flowers and rings and stuff in an airport? Because there's a man coming home from with a guilty conscience, and he has to do penance in his heart. And his wife just think, oh, he just loves me. Now, just in case any of you are not real in control of your thoughts, I've never done that. Okay. If I get someone good, is this to say I love you? Usually I'd buy the flowers before I left. Not to appease my conscience on the way back. Well, God cares about your conscience to cleanse you. You're not walking around fearing He's going to reject you because you have guilt, but he wants you to be free from all of that, free from guilt. Submitted to him. Well, I'll close reading Romans 12, where I was closing last week. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I actually need to verse 11, 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. I beseech you by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This is the worship of God. I give myself, my heart, my life, my time, my body. It's yours, Lord. You are worthy. Those aren't just flowery words. That has a great depth of meaning. Lord, you're worthy of my life. And be not conformed to this world. Don't just act like the world. Don't take on their thoughts, their desires, the world's sin. But be transformed, made into a new creature is what that means. By the renewing of your mind, the exchange of your thoughts for God's thoughts. By the washing of the water of the word. That you may prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Praise the Lord. When we embrace what I'm sharing with you today and last week, it changes everything. This is not, we're not together, it's not being religious. You can tap into the life of God. Now, whether you do or not, that's only you can do for you in that. You can choose to tap into it or not. That's what I'm doing. That's why I'm here. I'm going to tap into all this and just to worship my Lord Jesus Christ, who saved us and gave us eternal life. We don't have to be afraid to die. Our destiny's been changed. We have heaven. We have eternal life. Therefore, we don't have to be afraid to live. If you're not afraid to die, you don't have to be afraid to live. We have him. We have access to everything. He's worthy. Let's give it all up to Jesus right now.